If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Acts chapter 13. Somebody asked how I met my wife. And I used to have a beautiful head of hair. And I met her through a barber. A barber introduced us. And then I begged her to marry me. Please beg me. Please marry me. Please marry me. She took pity upon me. I was married when I was 33 years old. We'll start in Acts chapter 13 and we'll switch back to 1 Samuel. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And look at verse. Look at that. We'll look at verse. He's talking. The Apostle Paul. He's giving a sermon here, and he's at Antioch, and he's talking about some of Israel's history. And we'll start at verse 20. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when they had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And we'll turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And here Samuel, the Lord speaking through Samuel, and he says this to Saul, King Saul. Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And let's ask the Lord to bless this message. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for eternal life, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we're able to come to church this morning. Thank you, Lord, the folks here, nobody's sick. We have two arms, two legs. As far as I know, we all have two arms and two legs. We have eyes, we have ears, and we can breathe. We can enjoy good meals. And thank you, Lord, for these privileges, these blessings, Lord God. You're great, and we pray that you bless this message, Lord. Please encourage your people. Some folks, we pray that the result of this message, Lord, will be folks who want to have a walk with you closer and love you more and have a desire to love you more and live for you and more in every aspect of their life. And Lord, we pray that this message, you'll get glory and out of this message, you'll be pleased with it. And Lord, I don't know if there's any unsaved people here, but Lord, if there are, we pray that you'd work and do something in their heart, move them. I pray that they'll make a decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we pray, Father, all these things, Father, in the Lord's, our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And, well, today, we're going to talk about, by the grace of God, we'll talk about a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart, which is King David, was King David. That's quite a compliment that the Lord pays here to David. He says, over in Acts, he said, he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What a compliment that would be to say. I mean, we hope when we, if you're saved, I hope you're hoping this, that when you die and you're stand before the Lord, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But what a compliment that is to say, I found a man after mine own heart that will fulfill all my will. What a compliment. You know, what kind of compliment would you find honorable? What kind of, if you're any red-blooded man, I mean, likes to think, if a compliment is you're very brave, or you're very, you know, appeal to our ego, you're very strong and brave, or you're very, oh, you're a very strong, brave, and handsome. There. Or how about ladies? I mean, you're 90 years old? You don't look a day over 50. I mean, or I was going to get into weight, but I won't get into that. According to the flesh, I mean, maybe you don't, but all flesh is grass, brother. We all like compliments. There's not a lady on earth who doesn't like a compliment of, oh, you're very beautiful. I mean, my wife likes to hear that. You're very beautiful. And in my eyes, she is. What kind of a compliment would you find honorable? Abraham, and you know what the Bible calls Abraham? It calls him a friend of God. A friend of God. What a compliment. A friend of God, the creator of the universe. He's my friend. How about Job? The Lord said of Job, he said, none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What a compliment. What a compliment. Or how about John the Baptist? The Lord Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I mean, these are great compliments coming from God Almighty, coming from the Lord. How about Moses? Moses was, the Lord said, he was faithful in all his house. Oh, he was faithful, and also the Bible says he was meek. I mean, those are great compliments that the Lord bestowed on sinners. How about Daniel? Daniel's the Lord calls him a man greatly beloved. A man greatly beloved. How about Noah? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. There's two people in the Bible that I know of that it's mentioned that walked with God. One of them was Noah. The other was Enoch. So, I mean, when God pays these compliments, the Bible says certain things about certain people, it would do us well to study these people. I mean, when God says Abraham was a friend of God, when the Bible says that, I mean, well, it'd be do us well to study about Abraham, or do us well to study about Job, or whoever it is. And here it's a man after God's own heart, King David. David messed up royally. I mean, he messed up pretty bad. And David was he was still a man after God's own heart. And the Lord said this twice. I mean, Lord mentions this twice in his book. First in 1 Samuel 13, and mentions it again in Acts chapter 13. I saw David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So let's look at some reasons why. And I'm sure if you studied this and you looked it over yourself, you'd find some other reasons and other things, you know, that the Lord will point out to you. But I will just pick out some basic reasons. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Well, the first one, if you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, the first reason why David was a man after God's own heart is because David was faithful. David was faithful. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, It says, and the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So David was faithful. You see, it says three, verse 13, it says there's three eldest followed Saul. Well, in verse 12, it says his father, Jesse, had eight sons. Well, the three eldest followed Saul. Where were the other four? Assuming that's one, two, three, four. Yeah. Where were the other four? I don't know. Why nobody else was looking after the sheep? David was faithful. I mean, what was he doing? He was doing a job that's very, there's not much glory in it, not much recognition in it. He was looking after some sheep out in the wilderness. I mean, day in, day out, a very boring, monotonous, simple job, but he was doing it faithfully. He's doing it faithfully. I mean, the three eldest were following Saul, and where were the other four? I have no idea. I don't know. But David was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was faithful. And, you know, there's some jobs. You ever play sports? If you ever play hockey, the most non-glorious job in hockey, I think, is the goalie. Or maybe it's in soccer. I don't know. But usually, I mean, there's not much glory in being a goalie. I mean, you're not. Or if you're in an army, how much glory is in being in the kitchen cooking? I mean, yeah, I was in Desert Storm. I was in Afghanistan, and I was in all these wars. Well, yeah, what were you doing? Cooking. Well, I thought you were special forces or something. No, I was a chef. It's a pretty important job. Pretty important job. If you're getting shot at, I mean, one of the good things for morale is having a hot meal in your belly. I mean, yeah, but not much glory in it. Not much glory in it. You know, there's some things in the Christian life. There's not a whole lot of glory. And I mean, how about being a housewife? Not a whole lot of. So what'd you do today? Well, I washed clothes, I did the dishes, and I helped my husband do this, 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 and this. Wow, glory to God. I mean, not a whole lot of praises and glory in it. I dealt with the kids all day. They're about to drive me crazy. I mean, David was faithful. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because he fulfilled the will of God. And he did what he was supposed to do. Whether there's glory in it or not, he was faithful. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. And that's what a servant's supposed to be, faithful. I mean, faithful is a really important thing in the Christian life. I mean, really important things. A lot of people don't put as much emphasis on it as they should. It's one of God's attributes. You realize that God has lots of. He has several attributes. I mean, the Lord is. He's gracious. He's loving. He's all powerful. He's holy. He's righteous. Well, how about faithful? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, "The Lord thy God, He is faithful, the faithful God." The faithful God. 1 John chapter 1, it talks about if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, the faithfulness, brother, is a great thing. Is a great thing. And it's often overlooked. Often the Apostle Paul said that the Lord counted him faithful. Faithful, and sometimes when you do something and you know that you're supposed to be doing this for the Lord, and you're sure about this. I mean, you can ask, sometimes you run into situations where it just looks black, and you say, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? I mean, that's fine, but if you believe that's the Lord, what you're supposed to be doing something, just be faithful about doing it. And you may not get recognition. There's a lot of things we're supposed to do as Christians. We're not going to get a whole lot of recognition for. It's if someone does something, I mean, thank them for it. I mean, say, hey, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you cooking this, or I appreciate you cleaning the toilet, or whatever it is. It's a blessing. But will you still do it without recognition? Will you still do it without recognition? Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Verse 33. You know what the Bible says in the New Testament? It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. The Lord is faithful, our faithful God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. Talking about Goliath, the giant. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. I mean, that's quite a feat. I mean, David was faithful. I mean, this shows a lot about David. I mean, here he is, a young teenager. I don't know exactly how old. I can guess around 14, 15 years old. I don't know. Maybe younger. I don't know. But this man was a warrior. I mean, he killed a lion and a bear. If it were me, I'd have to report back home to Dad. Today, we lost a sheep. And I'm sorry about it. Or maybe I just wouldn't say anything. Maybe I just pretend, hopefully nobody notices. I know you wouldn't do that. That's right. But that's called being faithful, because he did that at his own peril. He did that when nobody else did it. You understand? He's explaining to Saul that he did this not out of bragging rights, but he's just saying it as a matter of fact, so that, because he wants to kill the Philistine. And that's a man that's faithful. I mean, that was nobody, that's part of his being. You understand? And he was tested. Nobody saw him. The only person who saw him watching the sheep was the Lord. And he did that. And that shows you something about David. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was faithful. He was faithful. And the next thing, if you would, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Well, here's another reason. Like I said, you dig around here in the Bible and you can probably find other reasons. Here's another reason. David was concerned with the things of God. David was concerned with the things of God. Look at chapter 7, look at verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth with curtains. Here's David as king of Israel. I mean, the kingdom has been united. The southern kingdom, Judah, and the rest of Israel, I mean, they're united. He's king. Now it's time he could sit back and relax. I mean, he's pretty much got victory over most of his enemies, I think. And, he could sit back and relax and do things that kings do, you know, whatever that is. I mean, but you know what he's concerned about? He's Well, I got mine. But he's concerned about the ark of God. He says, what am I doing in a house? I'm in a house. I got nice cedar wood. I got nice cedar walls. How about the ark of God? Why is that still in a tent? And he says, I'm going to build a house for the ark of God. I'm going to build a, we don't want to use this tent. We're going to build a temple. And Samuel says, all that's in your heart, go ahead and do it. And then the Lord finally lets him know, no, David, I don't want you to do this. But I mean, this was in David's heart. It was, nobody told David that he had to go ahead and do this. He was concerned about the things of God. He was concerned about God's glory. He was concerned about God's glory. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we were just there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know what he's concerned about, why he wants to go kill that Philistine, that giant? Because he was defying the armies of God. He was blaspheming God. And he was saying a bunch of things that shouldn't have been said. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, he said, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He had talking about righteous indignation. And look over verse 30, if you look at verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine. He gives the Lord credit. I mean, he gives him honor and glory. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I mean, David was concerned about the things of God, and one of those things is the Lord's glory. He was concerned about, and he was willing to put himself on the line, not so he could get recognition. I mean, there's a lot of folks who do things, hit their motives, or so that they can get recognitions for things, so they can get accolades of some kind. What is your purpose of being concerned with the things of God? This is one of the reasons why King David was a man after God's own heart. He was concerned about the things of God. Lord, why? You shouldn't have to dwell in that tent. We're going to build a temple for the ark of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God? I mean, this day you will know that there is a God in Israel, the Lord God Almighty, the right God. And he was concerned. You know, one of the ways I, in my own life, that I know I get, that I get cold towards the Lord's because the things of God to me somewhat become dim, somewhat become cold towards the things of the Lord. In my life, well, maybe not yours, but in my life, one of the first things that go in my life is my prayer. Not praying like I should, not spending time. I mean, when my heart gets cold towards the things of God, I mean, the older you get, the more you can fake it, brother. Oh, yeah. I mean, the older you get wiser and smarter. Amen. But in your heart, you might be getting cold. And when you get cold towards the things of God, sometimes, for me, it's usually, it affects my prayer life. Because prayer is one thing in the Christian life that's strictly, completely spiritual. Lord, and when you start praying, who are you talking to? You're talking to the air. You're talking to the creator of the universe. You just can't see him. I mean, Bible reading is usually the next thing, generally speaking. These are things that usually nobody knows. Hey, nobody knows if you're praying. Nobody knows how much Bible you're reading. I mean, eventually it seeps out. Eventually it shows in one way or another. But I mean, I mean, if it's the Bible reading, I mean, at least if you're backslidden, you still read your Bible and get something intellectually out of it. Amen. 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 Okay, amen. And David was, why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he was concerned about the things of the Lord. He was concerned about these things, about God's glory, about things that belong to God, things that belong to God. And he was concerned with God's people. He was concerned with God's people. Over in Psalm 78, it says he fed them. He's talking about Israel. He fed them out of the integrity of his heart. Of the integrity of his heart. He fed them. I mean, yeah, he fed them food, but I think David fed them spiritually as well, out of the integrity of his heart. And David was concerned about the things of God, not because he, so much because he got something out of it. It's because he was sincere. And if you look over Psalm 27, please look over at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, why was David a man after God's own heart? Well, the next thing would be because he sought God's presence. I mean, nothing deep here, nothing profound. I mean, he sought God's presence. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. The Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I mean, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I mean, what have you desired of the Lord? Riches, or maybe, I mean, these are things that are natural. I mean, Lord, help me financially. Lord, help my health. Lord, help my marriage. Lord, help my work. I mean, these are things, there are things that we should pray about. But it says here, one thing have I desired. I mean, his innermost desire, David's innermost desire was that he, and that's what he sought after, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Why? Because that's where he wanted to be, in the presence of God. He wanted to be close with the Lord. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. He says, When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David sought after God's presence. He wanted to be wherever the Lord was, wherever God's presence was, that's where he wanted to be. When I first got saved, I was playing music. And when I was playing music, I mean, I was playing music all over the country. I mean, we'd be in bars and nightclubs and stuff like that. And when I got saved, there was a backslidden Christian, well-meaning, but he was very backslid. And he said, you know, maybe the Lord wants you to keep playing music because, you know, you come in contact with all these folks in these bars and these places. You're not going to come. I mean, they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know anything about the Lord. I mean, maybe the Lord wants you here so you can witness to them. Yeah, and I thought, I didn't know anything. And he had a verse of scripture for that. He had a Bible for that. He said, you know, look over in Philippians. And Paul's talking about, he gives his regards to those of the household of Caesar. And you know, at that time, Caesar was a bad man, and he was killing Christians. And they were servants in the household of Caesar. They were Christians. And I said, oh, yeah, I didn't know. What I do know is this. The people who go out to bars and clubs or whatever, they're not seeking after the Lord. They're not going there. They're usually going there to get away from God's presence. Do you understand? They're not looking for the Lord. They're not looking to hear from the Lord. God is not in those places. God is not in those places. If you want to find the Lord, you get alone with the Lord and you be honest with him. Tell him what's in your heart. Read his words. You want to be where the Lord is. Where are God's people? Where are God's people? A church is a God, the local churches, I mean, God called people out to meet together. I mean, the local church, brother, you can't go wrong with it. That's God's organization. That's where the Lord is. That's where the Lord is. That's where his presence is. I mean, when you got the Holy Spirit in you, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, and you got the Holy Spirit in you, you got the Holy Spirit in you, it should affect the atmosphere in here. It should affect the environment in here. And when, if you have a love for the Word of God, if you have a love for God's people, it should affect the spirit in here. All these things. David sought God's presence. He sought God's presence. You know, and it takes some effort to seek after the Lord's presence. It's not something that comes naturally. It's not just something. I mean, how about a relationship, a marriage relationship? You may be married to the, in your view, you may be married to the best husband or the best wife in the world, but it still takes work. You still have to communicate. You still have to work at it. I mean, relationships take work. And your relationship with the Lord yet takes some work, takes some effort on your behalf. The Lord has done what he should do, and he's not at fault if there's a problem there. You are at fault if there's a problem there. It takes effort. It takes decisions. It takes a decision. I'm real busy, but I'm going to take some time out, or I'm going to make some time to read my Bible. Okay. My job or whatever it is, I'm just tired. Okay, when is there a good time that you're not tired? When is there a suitable time when you can take some time to pray? I mean, trying to pray when you're really, really tired is just, I understand. So you have to work, find a time, or you can pray. I mean, pray always. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray. But you have to make a decision. You have to make that decision. Or how about making a decision to come to church? I mean, come to church or go hunting. Come to church or whatever it is. You're going to have to make that decision. The Lord doesn't make that decision for you. That's one of the reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. He sought God's presence. And if you're ever in a service where the presence of the Lord can be felt, or the Holy Spirit's working, and it's having freedom to work in our hearts. Sometimes being in God's presence can feel very awkward or very uncomfortable. Being in God's presence can just make you feel bad, because he is holy and righteous and good. And brother, we are not always holy, righteous, and good. Remember Peter? Peter denied the Lord. The apostle Peter, he denied the Lord three times. And when the Lord is walking out of the judgment hall there, and that cock crows, the third time he denies the Lord, that cock crows, he hears it, and probably all of a sudden that he hears that cock crow, and he sees the Lord walking, because the Bible says that their eyes met. It's talking about the Lord. He saw the Lord. When their eyes met, Peter began to wept. He saw the Lord. He went out to a place and wept. Why? Because he felt ashamed. He felt bad. And sometimes when the Lord, when you're in God's presence, you just feel bad. Because when you're in God's presence, your sin should make you feel ashamed. It should make you feel bad. Sin should make you feel embarrassed. It does me anyway. It does me. I hope it continues to do so. I'm embarrassed and ashamed. Sin is not something. Sin isn't anything that anyone should brag about. It should make you feel embarrassed and ashamed. Something dirty should make you feel dirty. And on the other hand, being in the presence of the Lord can be such a comfort and such a blessing, such a comfort and reassurance being in God's presence. Look over Psalm 42. Here's someone who's very depressed. Psalm 42. Oh, look at verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Looking at verse 5. Why art thou cast down? You ever get depressed? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. For the help of his countenance. I mean, being in God's presence, I mean, I'll praise him for the help of his countenance. He takes pity upon me. I mean, he feels sorry for me at times. I mean, there's times I'm my own worst. You ever see somebody? I mean, sometimes I am my own worst enemy. I mean, and what a fool! And he just looks down and takes pity upon me. Lord, I'm dust. And he takes pity upon me. But here it says he's the help of my countenance. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. Verse 5, it says, the help of my countenance. Verse 11, he's the health of my countenance. I mean, being in God's presence can be a great comfort and great blessing and great assurance. David sought God's presence. That's one of the reasons why David is a great sinner, and he still sought God's presence. That's one of the reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. Here's another one, profound, so profound. David trusted in God. How's that for deep? 2 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 24, David, his own son is rebelling against him. His own son is trying to kill him, and he's having to leave Jerusalem. And verse 24, it says, and lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God. And Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he say thus, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. He trusted the Lord. I mean, this shows David's heart. He had the power. He could have taken that ark. He didn't trust the ark of God like it was a good luck charm. It wasn't, oh, let me take this with me because it'll help us and it'll bring us good luck. No, he said, hey, when he saw the priest, he saw Abiathar, and he saw these guys bringing that ark, he said, hey, put that back where it belongs. That's not mine. That's not mine to take. That belongs in the city of Jerusalem. That belongs to God. And if he wants me to be king, so be it. And if he doesn't see fit to bring me back to Jerusalem to be king, so be it. Let him do as seemeth good to him. That was trusting the Lord. That's trusting the Lord. He was resigned to God's will. I mean, if the Lord wants me to be king, so okay. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord. Later on in 2 Samuel 16, you see a man named Shimei, and he's cursing David. And he's cursing David, and he says, ah, the Lord, you're getting what you deserve. And you know, David, one of his men behind him, he says, I'll take off that man's head. Why is he cursing the Lord's anointed? And David says, leave him alone. Leave him alone. You know what? Maybe the Lord bid him curse me. Maybe the Lord told him to say that to me. I mean, how would you feel if someone just came out and said, blanky blank you, blanky blank you, and all this other stuff that we, I mean, a bunch of four-letter words that we can't say. How would you feel about that? You, I mean, some of you guys would probably get in their face. All right? Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. But you know what? The Lord trusted, David trusted the Lord. David trusted the Lord. You know what? It just reveals his heart attitude. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because it shows his heart attitude. And it's usually when you go through difficult times that you have to learn how to trust the Lord. It's going through times when you're helpless, or when you're in poor health, or you don't have any money to pay something, that you learn these lessons. And oftentimes you learn, well, I guess I don't have the trust in the Lord like I should. Or sometimes you fail. Sometimes it's various issues. Sometimes there are family issues. And going through trouble, you learn about trusting God. There's various things you can go through, other people go through in their lives. But with David, he learned to trust the Lord. He learned to trust. He put it in effect. It's where the rubber meets the road. David was resigned to the will of God. David also, look at Psalm 119. Actually, you can turn there or not turn there. They're fine. David, why was David a man after God's own heart? He loved the word of God. He loved the word of God. I mean, you look at Psalm 119. It's all about the Bible. Psalm 119, it's all about the word of God. It's all about the word of God. Look at verse 100. Oh, actually, there's a lot of verses. We just look at verse 136. 136. He says, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. You know, it bothered David. It bothered David when he didn't obey the word of God. It bothered him deeply, and he wept over his sins. It bothered him deeply. He loved the word of God. Look, verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I mean, he loved the word of God because it was pure. Verse 161, I mean, you go on and on. David spent time in the Bible. He studied the Bible. He read the scriptures. He learned the scriptures. I mean, when David was at his most backslid moment, when he was involved in an illicit relationship with another man's wife, and then he ended up killing the husband, I mean, by proxy, killing the husband, Nathan, a prophet, comes along and gives him a parable about a man taking sheep that didn't belong to him. And David turns around and said, hey, let him return fourfold. I mean, David replies to the man with scripture, explaining the same out of Exodus. I believe it's Exodus. It's saying what's supposed to happen when something like that happens. What I'm saying is, in David's backslid state, in his worst, I mean, in that backslid, he still could quote scripture like that he knew what the Bible said. And he loved the word of God. He loved the word of God. And when it grieved his heart when he didn't obey the word of God. It bothered him on the inside. And his tears ran down his eyes because of it. Another reason why David was a man after God's own heart. Look at 1 Samuel. Oh, 1 Samuel chapter 24. 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 Verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 24, 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Here, Saul, the king Saul, is trying to kill David, and Saul and David has a chance to kill Saul. Look at verse 14. What David says about himself: "After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea?" One of the things that made David a man after God's own heart is his view of himself. It's his view of himself. You know what? David was God's anointed. I mean, he says, and he says that here, he says about Saul, "After whom does the king of Israel come out?" He says, Saul was God's anointed. That's true. But you see, Saul was fired. I mean, God sent out Samuel to anoint David. David's view of himself. He had the opportunity and the power and the ability to kill Saul at least twice. And you know what? A lot of men, they would have been justified be doing it. Why? Well, God doesn't want him to be king. He's been trying to kill me. I've been anointed king. And obviously, I mean, there's the witness of the Holy Spirit with all this stuff. And here it is. The Lord has finally delivered him into my hand. Here's my chance. You know what? David wouldn't do it. He trusted the Lord, but also he not only trusted the Lord, but he had a right view of himself. It was a humble view because he said, "Who does my Lord seek after? You're seeking after a flea, after a dead dog. I'm a zero." And over there on Saul's side is Abner, the general Abner. And on David's side is all those people following Saul. And behind David, there's his guys. You know, they hear David say this stuff about himself. It's amazing how David, you know, his view of himself, he had a humble view of himself. And it's amazing, when he became king, he understood he had an office of God, that God put him in that position. And he fulfilled that office, and he was king. He's very kingly. But you know what? At the same time, he would dance down the street in his underwear, humbling himself. And his wife, you know, would say, how dignant you were. Do you understand? That's his heart. There's a lot of good men or men, you know, I'm suspicious of any man who's overly righteous. I'm God's anointed. Something about that. I've come across too many. How do you say this? You won't fool me. You're not going to fool me. I've come across too many. My gut's too big. Too many men of God. And you know what they are? Proud, self-righteous. They think of themselves higher than they are. And they're a zero. Amen, brother. Amen. You and I are but flesh. You and I are servants of the Most High God. You and I are nothing without Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 That goes for you, your mother, your father, your children, everybody. Without Jesus Christ, you and I are nothing. He is everything. Amen. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing and accomplish nothing that's worth accomplishing. Amen. If you accomplish anything without Jesus Christ, then it's just strictly flesh. Amen. 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 Oh, I could go into the stories. I won't do it. David's position of it. I mean, are you a man after God's own heart? Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? Here's what David said of a real man after God's own heart. He said, "I'm nothing. I'm a flea. I'm a dead dog." He was just saying that for other people's sake, so he could look humble? No, he wasn't. That was his heart. Amen. Amen. And you know what? His entire life, he never lost sight of his true self, of his opinion of himself. He never lost sight of this. He never lost sight of this. He said, you know, over in 2 Samuel, when the Lord blessed him, the Lord, you know, he said, I want to build a ark. I want to build a house for the ark of God. And Samuel said, okay, go ahead. The Lord told him, no, you're not going to do it. You're a man of war. You've shed lots of blood. And but you know what? Because that was in your heart, I'm going to bless you for it. And then the Lord says, I'm going to do this, and do this for you. And after, when the Lord gets done saying all that, you know what David said? Who am I, Lord? Who am I? What is my house? Who am I? And, you know, and towards the end of David's life, you know what he said? I mean, towards the end of his life, thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness. Not because I'm great, because I'm smart, because I'm a this and that. It's your gentleness, Lord. If it weren't for your gentleness, boy, I'd just be a blotch in history. I'd be a nothing. And David's view of himself, it never changed. It never changed from the time he was little to the old. These are things all throughout his life. And then the last thing, why was David a man after God's own heart? David was his willingness to admit that when he was wrong and his willingness to repent. I mean, willingness to admit you're wrong. Boy, is that one thing in China? People are not willing. A lot of folks say, oh, Chinese folks will get saved pretty easy. A lot of folks, well, you have to be careful how you explain the gospel to them. A lot of folks, you want, because they'll see the Christian fruits of believing on Jesus Christ. They'll see some of the fruits of following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see these things are good, and they say, yeah, I want to believe on Jesus. Okay. And so you hear about all kinds of conversions and such. You have to be careful, because the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He was buried and rose again the third day. He died for sinners. And you have to explain what sin is to somebody. And why did Jesus Christ die? So I can be rich and happy and rich, fat, and happy? I don't know. I mean, he died so I don't go to hell, so I can go to heaven. And he died so that I won't have to take upon the punishment of my own sin. He took upon the punishment for me. And when you explain sin to somebody, you explain, well, you know what? Sit down, show them a few scriptures, say, yeah, why do you want to believe? When someone says they want to get saved, I ask them, why do you want to trust Jesus? Why do you want to get saved? Why? And I show them scripture. I said, you know, We want to get saved because of sin, because of our sin. You know, you're a sinner, and you go through scriptures. Sin starts in the heart, and it manifests itself on the outside. I mean, if someone steals something, when somebody steals something, it's because they covet. They covet. They want it in their heart. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, gee, boy, today is a nice sunny day. I have nothing to do. I think I'm going to go kill somebody. I mean, nobody does that. And there's something that goes on the inside first, and then it manifests itself on the outside. Because sin begins on the inside, and it manifests itself on the outside. David was willingness to, you know what happened when David he sinned? I mean, that grievous sin, that illicit relationship that he had, and Nathan the prophet came up and said, thou art the man, and says, you're guilty, and You know what David did? He said, I have sinned. I have sinned. You know what pretty much every other king would have done? What do you think you're doing? I'm the king of Israel. Who do you think you are talking to me like that? I'm the king. What? Can you imagine if Donald Trump, God bless his heart, if he was here and someone pointed out his sin to him, what would his reaction be? I bet it would be no different than Mr. Obama's. I bet them both of them would have the same similar reaction. Amen, amen, amen. did I say something I shouldn't say? Hey, brother, November 4th, no matter who is president, the sun's still going to rise. Amen. Sun's still going to rise. Amen, 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 amen. Believe me, nobody here hates communism more than I do. Amen. Okay, well, David's willingness to admit when he was wrong and to repent. And there was a lady in our church for a while, and she was sprinkled with water. I sat down with her, went through scriptures. I was very patient with her. Said, you know, that's not baptism. You haven't been baptized. That has nothing to do with the Bible. This stuff has nothing to do with the Bible. And she didn't like it. And I mean, I was very patient and I was very clear. I didn't rail against her. I didn't get on her. I just made it very clear that you have not been baptized. She left the church. She left. And then afterwards, a couple weeks later, she gave me a phone call. She says, you know what? You're right. I know you're right. What you told me, I know you're right. But I just can't accept it. Okay. What I'm saying is David's willingness, when he was wrong about something, he was willing to admit, not only admit he was wrong, but repent. I mean, there's one thing to admit when you're wrong, but when I'm wrong, then you change direction and go the right direction. There's some people that just don't do that. Admitting wrong is just something for a lot of people. It's just a loss of face. They'd rather die than admit they were wrong. I told you a picture of Mr. Zhang. He was saved in his early 70s. His daughter used to come in, and she would witness him. He'd say, "Don't you talk about that stuff to me!" And he'd say, "Oh, he would get angry." Eventually, he trusted Jesus Christ. He got saved. And for him to do that, he had to admit in his heart, and he had to admit that he was wrong all of his life about something. And he had to humble himself. He had to humble himself, and trust Jesus Christ to do that. When David numbered Israel, he did something he should not have done. He numbered Israel, and what did he do? He said, "Lord." And the Lord brought that pestilence upon Israel. And he said, "Lord," and these people started getting killed. He said, "Lord, not them. Bring it upon me." David, when he did something wrong, he was willing to take responsibility for it. And he would rather see himself suffer than innocent people. I mean, David was his willingness to do right and admit that he was wrong and change. As a lost Catholic, I mean, you have to admit you're wrong about what you believe. I mean, some of the stuff you believe is correct, some of the stuff you believe is right, but about going to heaven, what you believe about that is wrong. And David's willingness to admit, why was David a man after God's own heart? Because he was willing to admit he was wrong and willing to turn from it. And these are things that, I mean, it's a great compliment to be called a man after mine own heart. What a great compliment. And maybe some of these things that are mentioned, hope we can find them in all of us can find them in ourselves, but tell you what, none of us can say we've arrived. And there's things that we constantly need to work at. Hopefully these things will spur you on to hopefully be more of a man or woman after God's own heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your help, your blessings, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the examples you've given us in Scripture about sinners, Lord, about men who are frail, about men who have problems either with family or problems with other things in their lives and their frailty, but they're in their heart's desire and you gave them grace and you gave them help. And we have these examples in the Bible and about how they pleased you. And Lord, we want to be pleasing to you, whether it be in our actions or in our thought life or in our service or whatever, Lord. Please help us, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that if there's a lost soul here today, that they'll realize still that they can never be pleasing to you without first receiving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you work here and work in our hearts. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Crowder.